Sales is a lost art of just simple communication with people and
Yeah.
active listening. Like if you actually listen to people, that is what a sale is. That's nothing more than just listening and having an in-depth conversation with people. And so get out of your head and into your heart and really connect with that person. Let go of the agenda, let go of I need to make money, let go of all of your ego and focus on that person. And I guarantee you, you will make so many more sales when you stop focusing on the sale and start focusing on how can I help this person right in front of me? That is what's really going to change.
Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us again on the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast. I am very excited to introduce my guest, Sasha Davis. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's so fun to have a conversation with somebody that you have had a, the green room conversation. We've had our pre-call. We're almost like kindred spirits. We've got some good stuff to talk about today, so I'm just excited to have you here.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. So, then I think we have a lot in common, and I'm excited to see where this conversation goes. So,
Yeah, well, why don't you tell for the people listening, tell them who you are and a little bit about what you do.
my name is Sasha. I'm a mom of four. I live on a ranch in Southern Oregon. So we got all the things, horses, cattle, chickens, ducks, bunnies. I mean, dogs, cats, the list goes on. But I have been. I've been coaching and consulting for myself under the umbrella of Sales Mama for going on 9 years, so almost a decade. Prior to that, I was in corporate sales, corporate customers, that whole typical 9 to 5, which is a bunch of BS because it's not actually 9 to 5. It's more like 12 or 14 hours a day when you're in corporate management. Your phone never stops ringing. So, but I left that to start my own company, and that is what led me here today. I'm sure we'll go into a lot more detail, but that is the high level version of who I am. So.
Love it. So tell us, what was the moment you realized that helping women sell with confidence was the work that you were meant to do?
I remember vividly the moment. It happened 1 week. I had two interactions with two different people, and it just sent me over the edge. One was an interaction, I won't say names, but one was an interaction with a man, with a male, who sold entirely different than me and basically was his way or the highway. It was a very old, outdated strategy, very pushy, very masculine, very if confuse them till they say yes, or if they get on the call, they want to be here. They're going to say yes. We're not letting them off the call until they say yes. And I just don't swing that way. That's not really how I operate. And so I challenged him, and he basically told me I was an idiot. And so that was that. And then I tried to find another mentor who was a female because I thought, well, maybe it's just a masculine thing. And so I tried to look for a female, and I got on the phone with her. And in that conversation, she basically told me that I would never be successful because my priorities were mismatched because I was a mother, and that I would never be successful because I would always prioritize my children. And so this happened within about a week of each other. And And I know your listeners don't know me, but they will. And I'm the type of person that if you tell me I can't do something, I am like, watch me do this and do this better than you ever thought possible. And so Sales Mama was born. So
Love it.
out of spite, and not that it's spiteful anymore, but that was really like the thing that pushed me over the edge because I had been in sales, I had been in, corporate management, had done all these things, and so I was actively looking for mentorship to help me expand what, what I had wanted to do. And so that's really what I found. There's no space for women entrepreneurs or women entrepreneurs who want to prioritize family, whether it's, family meaning they have pets or children or a spouse or somebody that they care for. Family can mean so many things. There's a lot of companies out there that say family first, but when it comes down to it, they don't actually mean it. And so I wanted to be that person that actually meant it. And that's how Sales Mama was born.
I love that story because I feel like so many people can relate to that perspective that you shared with those two people and their perspective of sales, right? Because when I started my business, I came from corporate. I was in corporate for 15 years in the marketing space, and I worked in real estate in that during those 15 years for about 9 years of that. And I always told myself I was never going to be a salesperson. Like, I don't want to be that sleazy salesperson. And I just had this perception of what sales was. And so when I started my business as a creative, as a marketer, it was like, okay, now I have to sell. I can't succeed unless I make sales. And so it was a real like identity crisis, if you will, right? Like, okay, I'm a salesperson, but I'm not that salesperson. And so it took time and lots of conversations and meeting different people to realize that there's different types of sales and it's not a one size fits all. And there's so many ways that you can approach sales in a way that's service first, heart led, so many different things. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that perspective of the type of sales that you help coach people with.
Yeah, so I definitely believe that sales is a service. And without sales, you just have a really expensive hobby. You don't actually have a business because sales is the heartbeat of your business. Sales is the exchange of finances. It's the exchange of money. And without money, you don't have a business. That is ultimately what makes it a business. What makes it profitable is the exchange of of the finances, right? And so that is a sale per se. But when it comes down to it, when you come from that heart space of, I actually want to genuinely help people, whether that is a product or a service, sales becomes a service. And so when you come at it from, hey, what is your problem? How can I help? Hey, I actually have something that could be of benefit to you. You are servicing that person. You are supporting that person. And through that process, that is the sale. It's not, hey, I have this thing, come buy it. Hey, I have this thing, come buy it. Hey, I have this thing, come buy it. I actually have a really great example yesterday from a gal who recently graduated from a sales academy that is online, that is a big name brand right now. And she tried to sell me on going into this program. And not once did she ask me a qualifying question. Not once did she ask me if I have a problem. Not once did she ask me if I had a goal. She literally came into my DMs and was like, hey, here's this. I see that you're into sales. I think I have a really great opportunity for you. That is a wonderful way, a great example of how not to sell. It's qualifying somebody by asking them if they have a problem, what is that problem causing them in their daily life? What is, what would it mean for them to solve that problem? And hey, I might have a potential solution for you. Can we talk about what this solution would mean for you? And then go from there. And that's just a high level way of talking about sales. We can go a lot deeper into it because there's actually different personality styles if we get down into the nitty gritty of how people sell. And so I'll keep it again high level here, but we have strategic sales, people who are very analytical. They're very black and white. They want lots of details. We have people who are, like VIP type of sales. They want like the best of the best. They only want the information that's going to move the needle forward. They don't care about your low ticket stuff. They want the red carpet experience. Like, do not bombard them with details that do not matter. Give me the things that I need to know and tell me how this is going to solve my problem. Yeah. Then we have the fast action people, the exciting people, the people who are like your FOMO buyers. They want to know, like, why is this going to change their life? What are they going to miss out on? They're going to come in with your fast action offers, your bonuses, your discounts, that type of person. And then we have your, I want to save the world, I want to save the whales. You're very heart-led. You're very emotional buyer. You need to explain to them why this is going to be impactful, not only for them, but their family, their community, and why this is so important to them. And each one of those personalities buys differently, they sell differently, they consume differently. And if you don't know who you are talking to, you will have a very hard time selling to your audience.
Yeah. Well, that leads me into the question about tying in marketing into your sales, right? So you identified these different personas or personalities. Mm-hmm. How do you know, do you basically say, I want to target this type of buyer? And that's how you structure your marketing and your messaging? Or do you try to hit all of those personas? Like, how do you, you know, because you talk about, like, if you think about learning, like there's visual learners, there's audio learners, like how do you match what your offering is to those different personas?
So just like anybody who's kind of starting out, you want to really focus on who's already naturally attracted to you. And so when I'm working with somebody, I will kind of do an audit on what type of content they're already creating, what type of language they're already using, what type of buyers they're already attracting. And so based on that, we will make a personality assessment and we'll start to create additional content that's already going to attract those type of buyers. And so with that, we'll build out funnels, we'll build out sales scripts, we'll build out additional content. But as you start to grow your brand, we will start to go wider with that. But we're not going to go wide in the beginning. It's kind of like where people talk about your niche, right? So in the beginning, you want to kind of hone in on one audience. So you're going to be talking to one general, you know, one audience. But then we're going to even go even more narrow and talk to almost one type of buyer within that audience. And so that's going to really enhance the buying experience. Yeah. But then we're going to widen it and talk to then more personalities within that buying experience. And so this is why it's really important to have lead magnets, ads, things like that, that are going to target each of those people within different parts of the buying process too. So there's going to be some people who are like super cold, kind of lukewarm, warm, really hot. And so you'll also have different lead magnets to target those different personalities in different areas of the buying process. And so we want to start with where you're at, honing in on that, and then you kind of build upon that. But once you get to a part where you've kind of built out everything for that first personality, we'll say, we do start to add to that. And there are some clients that I work with who now talk to all personalities. Like, I talk to all personalities now, but I still have like two main personalities that I tend to attract. Yeah. But you can start to expand to where you're talking to all of them, right? Yeah. I mean, like a lot of these larger corporations and companies, you know, like everybody knows the Hormozis and stuff like that now, like they target everybody now, you know, that's kind of how it is. And they'll have your fast action offers. They'll have all of the details. They'll have the long landing pages. They'll have the $250,000 masterminds. You know what I mean? So they're targeting everybody at this point, but that's not where they started.
So. Yeah. There's so many layers to it. And I love that you broke that down, because most entrepreneurs think about, like you said, the niche, like an industry niche, like who's my audience? But it, like you said, you go even just a step further, who's my buyer profile, right? Yep. And it's like even a step further from that, how do they like to consume information? So there's so many different layers to that. I love that you mentioned that, because I had never really put that into perspective. And also the fact of who you attract, right? Because sometimes, you know, you may be trying to reach, you know, one type of buyer, but when you attract them, it feels mismatched, right? Yep. And you can't quite figure it out. But when you really truly can understand who you work the best with, and it makes the process so much easier, right? Because you're so aligned and you understand them, they understand you, and it's just like this perfect like synergy, if you will. So yeah, thank you for sharing that, because I think that's an insight that I had never really thought of from the sales perspective.
Yeah, I'll give you another example that comes up a lot with sales calls specifically, because I work with a lot of coaches, consultants, service providers, and they do a lot of sales calls. And so they'll come to me and they'll be like, I'm having such a hard time converting my sales calls and blah, 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 blah. And I'll look at their sales calls, and a lot of them are doing like hour-long sales calls. And I'll look at their buyers, and their buyers are these fast action buyers or these like top of the line buyers. And I'm like, your sales calls need to be under 30 minutes. Like, you are losing your people because your calls are too long and you're not pre-qualifying them. Like, you need to ask questions prior to getting them on the phone, and you need to shorten the call time. And then there's these strategic buyers, or these the people who want more detail, or the more emotional buyers, they do better with those 45-minute calls. I rarely do calls, should calls take an hour, in my opinion. Anybody who's doing that, I think, needs to readjust and reassess how they're doing.
Tighten their conversation.
They need to tighten up their qualifying process. They need to tighten up their lead process. There's a lot that they could do there. But a lot of people will lose people on their actual sales call just by the length of time that they are doing their sales call and the types of questions that they are asking. Because if you're asking surface level questions, if you're not asking too deep of questions, if you're not asking questions that pertain to that personality, like, for example, with the strategic person, if you're asking questions about fast action bonuses, that person's probably going to be like, you're an idiot. You know, like, they want to know in-depth details. They want to know stats. They want to know data. They want to know facts. And if you're over here talking about emotions and how this is going to change your life, this person's going to be like, yeah, I just want to know what your success percent rate is.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to think you're an idiot. So you just need to know who it is that you're talking to and how to talk to them. And it will make your close rate so much higher and your sales calls that much more fun, because you know exactly who it is that you're talking to.
Do you think that the sales cycle is longer or different when you have more of a service-based sales approach, or is it the same? What's your thoughts?
It depends, honestly. I think your sales cycle can depend on what your product or service is and the type of personality. So the personalities that I see that take the longest are the strategic buyer and the heart-led person. And so I will have coaches or consultants or service providers that come to me, and they have that market, and they're frustrated that their people aren't buying within 48 hours. It's like, your people are probably going to take 4 to 6 weeks or more before they convert. And so you need to have a funnel that nurtures them that way, because that's how they buy and that's how they consume, because they need a lot of nurturing and a lot of data before they make a decision. Versus the other two, they know when they know, like, they want something and they want it now. And so they like to have an abundance of information up front so that they can make a fast decision. Okay. So if you have a long buying process for those people, you're going to lose them. Like, you're going to lose them. Like, they're going to be bored. They're going to be like, yep, nope, this person is taking too long. Like, I knew what I wanted yesterday. See you later. Yeah. So that's where you can lose people. And then also it depends on the niche, on the industry. So, for example, I find that people in like the therapy space, the trauma space, the spiritual space, I find that the business owners of that tend to be afraid to ask the hard questions because they don't want to be annoying or hurt somebody's feelings. So they have their own limiting beliefs around that. So that can also inhibit how quickly they acquire clients, but also their clients have their own limiting beliefs around like self-worth and like, is this for me? And so you have to make sure that you're addressing those objections also in your content so that the buying process is sped up a little bit, versus people who are more on like the business to business side of things.
Yeah.
That can be a shortened buying pattern because business owners are like, I have a problem, I need a solution now, versus on like the B2C side, it depends. Like if it's moms buying for kids, like, I'll do anything for my kids, but they won't do anything for themselves. Or if it's like, pet parents, I'll do anything for my horses, I'll do anything for my dogs, but I won't do anything for myself. So you
Yeah.
have to make sure that you're addressing those types of things in your content, in your objections, in your material, in your nurture sequences to help shorten that buying process.
So, what would you say are three of the best qualifying questions you can ask someone?
I would see, well, depending again on the niche, but
Yeah.
we want to know how long they've been experiencing this problem, what else they have tried, and how soon are they looking to change this? Those are the
Oh,
big
yeah.
things. And so typically, if somebody's like, in the next 30 days, great, we want to talk to them now. But if they're like 3 months or so, we want to give them like a freebie or a low ticket thing. We want to nurture them. And somebody who's tried multiple things and they're like, I need a solution now, like those are people you want to talk to.
Yeah.
And if this is something that is like causing daily struggle for them, like those are going to be things that like are going to move the needle forward. So those would be some questions that I would ask.
Yeah. So obviously we talk about visibility, right? And how, like, what are some of the biggest visibility blocks that you see women carry into the sales process?
Well, the biggest thing is just asking for the sale. Like most
Yeah.
people will just say, oh, I'll send you details and just get back to me. And it's like, no, that is not what we do here. Unless you have to customize your entire package. That is not what you do. So they are just afraid to ask for the sale, or they're afraid to show up online and ask for the sale. They're afraid to put themselves out there. They're afraid for friends or family or somebody to see them as a salesperson. And until we get over this narrative that sales is slimy and sales is gross, and trust me, it took me a long time to even ident like I was doing sales and I didn't want to identify as a salesperson. Like I'm like, how weird is that? Like when people would ask me, I'm like, I'm in corporate management. No, I
Anything but
wasn't.
sales.
Yeah, it's like anything but sales, because I didn't want to be associated with it because it had such a negative connotation attached to it. And so how do we change the industry? It's by standing up for those types of things. And so it's up to us to be able to change that. And so the more people that stand up for it and are like, no, I'm taking a stand, and sales is a service. And in order for people to actually change their lives by investing in your products or service, a sale has to take place. And by that to happen, you have to show up in a big way, or nobody's going to know that you exist. It's not going to happen. It's not like people are just going to magically Google you unless you have a ton of money in Google ads. Like, you're just not going to rank as the first person. It's not going to happen. And so you have to get over your own self and your own limiting beliefs, because this is more than you. You have been given a gift of whatever the thing is that you are great at, and people need you and what you have to offer. So what I say to my clients, and sometimes I'm that tough love person, but I'm like, get over yourself. Like, people need you. This is more than your discomfort. Show up, because what you have is gold and people need that. So I go to the extremes for things. And so I would say, you know what, Tori, if you had the cure for cancer, how would you feel if you just kept that to yourself? You're just like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to sit aside and just wait for people to come to me. No, how stupid is that? You would show up every day waving flags saying, I have the cure for cancer and I can help you. So you need to start showing up in a way that you have the cure for cancer, and you're going to shout it from the rooftops, and you're going to take a stand for people every time they have an objection or they have no, because a lot of times it's not an actual no, it's they're scared to take that next step.
I often say, you're doing a disservice by not telling people what you have to offer. And it's so, as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself about how this aligns so much with visibility, right? Because if you if you can't make the sale, then you can't make yourself visible. And the confidence ties into both of those. And so by having this amazing offer, service, or product, or whatever it is that people need to see, if you are not confident enough or brave enough to get past this fear, then you can't be seen, you can't be visible, and you can't make that sale to help more people, because what you do is compounded. When you help one person, it helps X number of people, right? It just keeps growing and growing and growing. So I think that's something that we all need to hear, especially women, is like, lean into who you are, understand who you are as a quote unquote salesperson, and do what's right for you. But understand that you have something amazing to offer, and you can't hold that back, because people need to see your brilliance, and people need to, receive your service.
100%. Yeah, and it's like, listen, it's not easy. It's not easy, it's not. And so that's why it's nice to have people to practice with, or people to role play with, or people to challenge you, or to people. You know what I mean? And if you don't have that, create that, or find it. And this is, there's always ways that you can improve these skills. There's books, there's podcasts. I mean, this is something that I think sales is a lost art of just simple communication with people and active listening. Like if you actually listen to people, that is what a sale is. That's nothing more than just listening and having an in-depth conversation with people. And so get out of your head and into your heart and really connect with that person. Let go of the agenda, let go of I need to make money, let go of all of your ego and focus on that person. And I guarantee you will make so many more sales when you stop focusing on the sale and start focusing on how can I help this person right in front of me? That is what's really going to change.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Sasha, I feel like we could talk forever, and I can't believe that we have gone already for almost 20 minutes now. So thank you so much for being here and sharing this insight, because I think, like we've said, more women need to understand this and embrace this, and not do the disservice of sharing what they have to offer. So how can people get in touch with you if they need a tribe, if they need a space where they can work on this? Where can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can head over to salesmama.biz, BIZ, and see all the things that I have to offer. But I work with people in my signature program, Sales Mama School. So feel free to check that out. And if you're curious what type of personality you are, definitely hit up the quiz. It's salesmama.biz/quiz. It's also all over on my site, on my social media. So folks really enjoy seeing what type of personality they are and how they can enhance how they are attracting people to their audience. So that is a free quiz, very insightful. And we've gotten a lot of really great feedback on that. So
Oh, I love that. I'm totally going to do that, because I have an idea of what kind of person I am, but I may not be right. Well, thank you so much for being here. It's such a pleasure chatting with you today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.